good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here. It was a beautiful sunrise this morning from my window. Sun is way over there, but you know the days are starting to get longer. Did you know that? We have a little more daylight every day. It gives us more opportunity to praise God. So join us as we sing, "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord."
Verse 8 and verse 11 says this: O Lord, the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells, I love them. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. This service this morning is our all testimony service, what we call our all testimony service. We do this as the last service of the year, as the calendar permits that. On occasion, it begins the first Sunday in the new year, but usually it's the last Sunday of the current year in which I do not preach a sermon. Guess what? You guys preach the sermon. And if we do it by way of open mics here where we have a time. We will have various times throughout the service in which you are invited to come up, come to the front, and share something of what the Lord has done for you this year. The service is to testify to God's work among us and in us and through us in 2018. Psalm 9:11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds." In Psalm 40, verse 5, "You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet there are more than can be told." And that's how we'll feel this morning. Usually, once we get rolling on these things, it's hard to stop. And last year, as I recall, I stopped it prematurely. There were still several people wanting to come up. And I repented in dust and ashes from that, because this is probably my favorite service of the whole year, hearing what God has done. I love to hear what God has done in the lives of people, and I love to hear what he's done in the lives of our church family. So the service will consist of times for testimony to God's wondrous deeds and thoughts towards us, interspersed with songs of testimony. And we will testify, for example, to our great God's teaching and guidance for us from his word. That's some of the things that we might share about. His provisions for our lives, his deliverance, his salvation that he's brought to us, the promises that have sustained us and given us hope, the promises that he's given us in his word. So we have a few words, a few guidelines for testifying. First, come to one of the mics that you see in the front on either side. They're mic'd up. They both work. We've got a new sound system so that you will be well heard by us. The idea is that we can hear you. And then, so come to one of the mics so all can hear. Psalm 40, verse 5 says, "I will proclaim and tell of God's wondrous deeds, yet there are more than can be told." And so keep it brief, keep it to the point, so that as many as possible will have the opportunity to testify. Psalm 30, verses 11 through 12 says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent, that my glory, the good that we have received and experienced, will," it says in the psalm, "may sing your praise and not be silent." So keep it God-centered. You have a part in all this, of course, but it's about what God has done in your life. Thank you. That just reminds me of the same thing here. I always turn it off, and I forgot to do that this morning. Ever have this happen in the middle of while you're preaching? I haven't had that happen to me yet, but there's always a first time. Okay, so keep it God-centered. You have a part in this for sure, but he is central, and we want to keep it that way. So we're going to open up the next several minutes for anyone who'd like to come. And I have one passage. I'm going to be drawing and tying things together from the book of Ephesians, because toward the end of January, we're going to be starting a new series, preaching series, from the book of Ephesians, a very potent book. But I'm going to be drawing about five different passages in here, interspersed here this morning. Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5 says, "In love, he, God, predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ," adoption. We've been made his children, given us a position of being sons and daughters in Christ, and so in the position of being those who inherit some things that God has for us. "He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved," meaning in Christ. God's grace and choosing us to be his children. We're going to learn from Ephesians that he chose us from before the foundation, before the creation of the world, he had us in mind. And he is bringing about his plans to bring about his good for us. So, testimonies to God's goodness. We'll open it up right now for any who'd like to come. Greg? Greg is first up here. Wow. Oh, yeah. We'll get you. You got it? Okay. We'll let the expert do it with him.
1 Corinthians, can I speak? It looks like I can. Last year you saw me, and I'll just say that was a medical condition I deal with. I've dealt with that all this year, and what has God done for me in 2018? He's allowing me to speak to you now. Anyways, I read the Bible from cover to cover, year after year. You know this. Not a secret. In fact, this year I just completed my 10th year, consecutive year. You know what this means? I can never say this before. That means I am now a 10-year reader. That's true. I couldn't say this last year, not like I could say anything last year. But being a 10-year reader, I can say a few things. When I read the Bible, I break this down into sections. And I'm addressing the novice reader because guess what? 11 years ago, that was me. I was a novice reader, and I had no direction. I started with where the average person would start with, Genesis 1:1. Oh, it's a fine place to start, but there are better places if you're a novice. So I'm going to suggest the Pauline letters. They're not very long at all. It's the fifth through Hebrews books in the Bible. There's 14 letters there. They're short. If you read them, you've just read more than half of the books in the New Testament. I actually had a lot of things spelled out. Roger has a speech written for me. He's my contingency plan. But I'm kind of breaking up on the whole thing. But, folks, I'm just a spokesman for God's Word. Open it. That is our responsibility. I'm not saying you have to be eccentric like me and go 10 times, but to go once. That is our responsibility. Thank you. And I spoke, so praise Jesus.
I'm going to go quick because I'll be going out in the Sunday school department later. And I'm going to try to keep it brief and not get emotional, but it'll be hard to, because I want to reference to Greg that I had been a believer for a long time and had never read the Bible from cover to cover in a year. And many years ago, I didn't know how long ago, he challenged us, like he just did now, to do it. And so now I've been doing it. And I was kind of excited because I finished the day after Christmas with reading it. So thanks to him and his challenge, it worked on me, and I hope it works on you guys too. It's really not as daunting as it first seems or appears. I know there's a reading program today in the bulletin, which is the one I follow, but I like the suggestion of what he's saying about the starting in the epistles there in the New Testament. But that's when I follow, and I find it to be really good. What I wanted to say, some of you might have heard at the Christmas Eve service, was this year our opportunity to go to Israel as a team was phenomenal. I just can't I can't describe how marvelously wonderful it was. And in lieu, and the fact that a good sister in the Lord that knew me before I knew Jesus, who led me to Christ, Joanne Pruitt. It's through her love
for Israel, the Jewish nation, and what God's doing. Her and Don had a vision, and I think that's come to fruition here at Cornerstone. It was through them, their inspiration and their connections with Jews for Jesus as well, with chosen people and open doors. She has such an extreme passion, and also for the persecuted church. And you know, she's battling Lou Gehrig's disease now. And she had that on that trip, and she did phenomenally well. And there was moments when I wasn't sure what we were going to do. And God, through Roger, continually said, the Lord is doing mighty works. And he did. I just praise the Lord for that opportunity and for her. She is the one that probably has made me very passionate about the persecuted church as well as the Jewish nation. So anyway, I'd like to just praise the Lord for that trip, the opportunity with Joanne, the mighty works that God is doing, and seeing what our role will be in the future with Israel, as well as just upcoming events with missions and the persecuted church. And recently also our daughter, Robin, which some of you know, recently got married for the first time. She's 40, so it's been many years that she's ready for Mr. Wright. But there was a time in her life she drifted way far away from the Lord. And I'm just stand here in awe of what God has restored and done in her life. She's transformed. And so it's been a marvelously wonderful, fulfilling year, and I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do in the future. Thank you.
It's fun to make people laugh at me. I really appreciate it. So it's going to be time for pastoral prayer, but I don't have all these words of wisdom today that I normally try to come up with. But I feel so blessed to be part of Cornerstone. And a big part of that was meeting my wife, Susie, back 34 years ago. And and we've been married for 31, and it's all been bliss. Right. But God has always been number one for us, and through the good times, through the bad times, he's always been there. And makes my whole body shiver right now. I'm not doing the testimony yet, but I may get back up here. So, Mary, thanks about and Greg, about the Bible thing, reading it. And I've been trying to do that for years. I think I get through all the way through it. I'm not quite there yet this year, so I better really do a lot of reading today. But it's such a good feeling when I read. And the thing about, you know, right now that I'm going to be 63 pretty soon, and I get done reading and I get back and I go, okay, what did I just read? It's not sticking, so I'm going to have to keep reading so I can remember. but anyway, it is time for pastoral prayer, and I'm just so thankful that God has put me where he's put me, and he continually awes me, and if I do a testimony, I'll tell you why. But if we could stand up right now, please, for a minute. Those that can't, that's okay. But if we could lift our hands up, and what are we doing right now? Okay, how about a big, loud one? Praise Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can sit down now. Heavenly Father, we just come to you and give you thanks for the God that you are, that you love us, and even as we are, and that you came down here so that we could live, and that accepting you, Lord Jesus, that you would actually come down for us. It makes my heart jump. It makes me ponder. You wonder why he would come for us, but it's because he loves us so much, even as we are. Just thank you, Father, for that, and that you hear our word, or our requests, our needs, and we know that you're there always. Sometimes we forget about you, and we don't ask, and we try to do things ourselves, and with your wisdom, Lord, you find a way to grab us back, and you never let us go. So just, we come to you with these prayers, Father, and just thank you and praise you. Jean Payton is thanking you for all the prayers, and her eye surgery went well. And praise you for that, Lord. I'm going to lift up all the men and women in our service, in the military, and all the quick responders, that you protect them, Lord, and that they would be shining lights for you, the ones that know you, as they are positioned throughout the whole world. But be with them, Lord, and thank you for their sacrifices. We lift up David and Robin Schroeder as she continues her neurological issues, and thank you for Dave having successful heart surgery, and that he's able to take care of her, and that he has that heart for her, Lord. And also continue to lift up Kimberly Van as she's still struggling from the foot surgery. I pray that this would end up being the last one she has to have, Lord, and that the pain would go away. And I just lift up Raymond Kirimu, as we saw him this last week during singing Christmas carols, and he looked well, Lord, and I know he's improving, and I pray that he continues to improve. And also for Joanne Perea, she's battling the ALS. She's a strong woman, Lord, and that's because of you, and we just pray that you give her strength through this time. And also lift up Gabriel Kane, as she's going to be facing having the kidney transplant from Greg's brother, Marty, and on the 17th. So we pray for the successful surgery, and just thank you for Marty to do this. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful gift. Also lift up with Jeremy Handysidis, battling the kidney problems, and just pray that there will be that the surgery someday will come through for a new kidney, and the transplant process will be successful, and also that it'll happen quickly. Lift up Sharon Nelson, and thank you, Lord, that she's here today, and she's doing better. But I lift her up that that all the things that need to be done are done, and she can put that aside. Just thank you and praise you for her, Father, and her love for you. And I lift up Susie as she's, she's battling a cold now, I believe, but it was food poisoning just a few days ago. And I pray for quick healing for her. And also lift up Linda Ramsey, who is recovering from the kidney stone issues. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you she can be here today. And we lift up North Point Community Church. Just bless them, Lord, and that they would be spreading your word throughout the community. Father, just thank you, praise you for our jobs. Thank you for the tithes that we can give to you. And I just pray that you bless those, and that we would be wise in how they were dispersed. And I also want to lift up the upcoming pastoral search, Lord, that you would bless that, and we know you're going to bless it, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that we can come to you again, and for any lift up anything that I have forgotten. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name, and that you would bless everyone here with a new year, with good things. And thank you. Love you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. The 2 through 6th grade are released.
Well, I did wake up this morning and look out that window and watch that sun come up, and this song we're going to sing is 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord, to give thanks, and we have another day to worship him. Amen. So if you could stand and worship with us together. Thank you.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 says this, In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. God has not only made us his children, but because of that, or with that, comes a tremendous inheritance in which we share in the glory of Christ, in the inheritance of Christ. And where is Christ now sitting on the throne? That's our inheritance, to share that with him one day. And so with our testimonies, one of the things we can praise God for, we've already mentioned, is God's saving work in us through his word, and in this passage, through not only his word, but also through the Spirit of God, through the word and through his Spirit together. We can praise God for those things. We'd like to open up our time again for anyone who'd like to come to the front and share what God has done in your life this year.
First off, I want to praise God for my Cornerstone family and all your prayers for me this year. And last week when Roger was talking about preparing for today, I wanted to look up all the scriptures and everything. Well, that didn't happen. Sometimes I have trouble putting my feelings into words. Sometimes God makes things so clear. So I'm a storyteller, so I'll try not to take too long. But I had significant deaths this year that most of you know. Prior to this year, I had some significant deaths. My mom had a sister that was killed when she was 3, before my mom was even born. And that's significant for me because I was born on her birthday. So every year, mom would go, today's Thelma's birthday too. So I didn't even know Thelma. Thelma's in heaven, some little girl I never knew. And didn't quite know what to do about that or think about that, but... And when I was 14, my brother had a close friend, and he'd come to visit my brother, and my brother wouldn't be home, so hey, you want to go to the beach and throw around football? And he'd take me, and we'd go to the beach. He was like 3 or 4 years older than me, and he was like another brother to me, and he committed suicide. And that was the first dead person I ever saw. And I was devastated. I wanted to shake him and go, wake up, wake up. And I didn't know what to do with that. And when I was 17, I was driving a car, and we got hit, and my best friend was in the car with me, and she was killed. That was really devastating. I didn't know if God would ever forgive me for that. And then when my grandma died, when I was in my 20s, she was really close to her. It was very difficult. And you're told these people are in heaven. They go to heaven. They're in a better place, and you hear all this nice stuff. And what do you really believe about that? What do you really know about heaven? What does it look like? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know what to think. And I wrote notes because I try not to get sidetracked. Last week, I was thinking about this year. My dad passed in January. And my mom passed in October. I didn't have any questions. I just had this deep peace. That I know, I don't think, I know, I'm going to see him again. I miss them physically here, but my heart and my soul is at peace because I know. I don't have to wonder what heaven's like. We took a heaven Bible study and gave me great pictures of what heaven is really like. And I just wanted to share that peace. I didn't have... God helped me put that into words last week. I didn't know what I was feeling, but I'm feeling peace and joy because I know I'm going to see him again, and I wanted to share that. Is Greg still in here? Greg, I took that Read the Bible in a Year challenge many years ago. I read the Bible once through and through. Only took me 14 months, but I did it. God bless you all.
Rachel Baruth, and I just want to praise the Lord for Christian parents and for growing up in a home where they could teach me how to be, to love the Lord with all my heart and to have faith to believe that God can work miracles in our lives. Sometimes we see a no that the Lord tells us and we fall apart and think, why can't I have it my way? And then a little way down the road you see, oh, it's so much better now. Lord, you worked it out so much with more peace and more understanding. So I thank the Lord for the trials that have come in my life over my years and how he has allowed me to walk closer with him. And I was married to a Christian for 34 years, and he passed away 18 years ago. And I remember when he died, the verse that came to me was, there may be sorrow, I can't quote it perfectly, but there may be sorrow in your heart, but joy comes in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And joy has become my favorite word. And several years ago, I coined the phrase Jesus joy. So when I sign letters now, it's Jesus joy. And I want to relay to people that Jesus does bring joy into our lives. And I just praise him for the strength that he gives me daily. As you know, in August, Pastor Roger married Roy Baruth and I, Farmer Roy, as you know him. And he does not know the Lord yet, but I am praying that through your testimony, he came Christmas Eve and was so appreciative of the friendliness of the church, which I've been telling him in my months of coming. And so I praise the Lord for your openness and for your joy with strangers and with other people. And where was I going with this? Just want to trust that the Lord has put me with him to draw him closer to the Lord. And I just really feel that, as Anita was saying, there is a peace in your heart when you feel like you are walking with the Lord and when you know that you're doing what he wants you to do. So I thank you for being Christians and letting your faith shine, and just keep that Jesus joy going.
Recently heard this message about living in Crazy Town, and are you guys familiar with that? I think you all live in Crazy Town, don't you? And Crazy Town it runs through our veins, and we want to get away from it. You know, Crazy Town runs in our relationships and runs in the environment, tsunamis, earthquakes. It's everywhere. But we have the peace, the shalom of Jesus in this crazy town that brings wholeness into our relationships, because, you know, we are all broken and we are all thirsty, aren't we? We're thirsty. We need more of Jesus Christ. So let's worship together, if you please, if you could stand. Thank you.
praise God for his choosing us to be his children from before the foundation of the world. We can praise God for his saving work in us through his word and his spirit. We can praise God for his wisdom in reconciling and making us one in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 says, Paul is talking about his ministry, and he says part of it is to, central to it, is to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. See, our praise and our extolling God reaches not simply us here, but it reaches to the heavenly places even and affects that. Verse 6 of Ephesians here in that passage talks about the mystery as being that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, are fellow heirs, members of the same body with the Jewish believers and partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel. God making us one new humanity together. From all peoples, from all cultures, from all languages, from all places in this world. One people in Christ. And that displays the many-splendored wisdom of God. Think about us here this morning from several different cultures and our church congregation extended now to all who can be here from several different cultures and ethnic groups made one in Christ. And in doing so, in doing that, God declares and shows forth the many splendors of his wisdom to the heavenlies as well as to this world. That's something you give praise for, the reconciling of relationships in Christ, the oneness that we have in Christ. Now you come up and preach that.
I'm going to be lazy and share from up here. So I haven't really thought this through. This might seem very disjointed, but I do praise the Lord for our family here at Cornerstone. We get new members every year. Rachel, I'm so grateful that you're here, and we are praying for your husband. And, we tease the band because we're all old up here, and we have John as our new member of Cornerstone and bringing some youth to the praise team, which we desperately need. But I think, Rachel, you said your word is joy this year. I think my word this year is either endurance or faith. Because, I have prayed for my kids. I call my kids my nieces and nephews that I'm very close to that are very ungodly, just an ungodly group of kids. And we pray for them. Jim and I pray for them so often. And sometimes it gets weary. And I get tired of praying, thinking, when are you ever going to save them, Lord? They just need you so desperately. And I was listening to Moody the other day, and I shared this with Jim. Manny Mills, I don't know if some of you are familiar with Manny Mills. He's on Moody every once in a while, and he was talking about the fact that they had prayed for years and years and years for, I believe it was his ex-wife, that she was actually a witch and did, had idols and did spells on people. Seeped in this demonic wit, and he said, praise God, 2 weeks ago, she came to know the Lord. And it just dawned on me, I thought, that is endurance and it is faith to believe that someday the people that we are praying for or the situations that we're praying for, someday God may answer them. And I just need to have that faith and that endurance to say, I will continue to pray for those kids. Because that's part of our calling, is to pray and to believe in faith that God will someday answer those prayers. And so my word this year is going to be faith, just to endure in prayer for all of the things that we're praying for.
Good morning. Thank you, Father, because I've read this countless times, but this year at the beginning of the year, I read where God adopted me. And being orphaned and raised in the foster care, et cetera, that really has come to be more meaningful. And thank you, Pastor Rogers. She just mentioned it, you enduring me. All right. I tell people when they get upset with me, the only reason I'm in their life is to teach them patience and tolerance. And Pastor Roger, you know, he's been working with me for years on a weekly or biweekly basis, you know, because I need that accountability. You know, it's real easy to come to church and fake it and praise God and everything's copacetic, and but then we go home and I've come to realize, excuse me, for me, the only true way to find out somebody's true character is to observe them behind closed doors invisibly. All right? The Israelites, you know, they turned their back on God. They had plenty of warnings several times, and they were killed and enslaved, and then they repented after they were persecuted for so long, you know, and I'm exactly like that. And it's hard when you willfully sin for me to give that all to God and rely on his mercies. So I've been doing this Bible study with Pastor Roger, Good and Angry. And this one section, he was focusing on the Psalm 23. And he broke it all down. But my favorite one is the beginning. Okay. Help me out, somebody. Yes, thank you. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. Because, you know, when I deliver pizzas and when they make me stand out in the rain or they don't have their money ready or they don't tip the great Matthew, I have a tendency to get a little testy. And I got to remember that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I think I'm in want. I need that money for my bills, but in hindsight, God has provided everything that I've needed. Not what I wanted, but what I needed. See, my ego says every day should be a holiday and every meal should be a banquet. That's my ego. But reality says there will be stormy days, and a lot of them I create, and there will be hot dogs for a meal. So with that, I just thank God that he don't take naps because I'm a full-time job.
Thank you, Matthew. That was really good. The weary and weak theme. Our son was weary and weak a few weeks ago in body and in emotions just because of everything he was going through. And then mom gets weary and weak and has a little hard time concentrating and gets down. But yet we were with them yesterday, and he's doing better physically and emotionally, and I'm very thankful for that. Thank the Lord for that, and again, thank the Lord for the body of Christ, who's been a great encouragement to him and his wife. And praise the Lord, he got his Medicare card, and the process can start for not dialysis. He's doing better with dialysis, but for a transplant. So, praise the Lord.
There's this picture on Facebook, me and Ann and a couple of my daughters, and it's like I look at that thinking, wow, who is that guy? He's just going into the witness protection program, I think. When I think of, because Ann and I have been married 47 years, and what a blessing to have children and grandchildren, and I know I don't deserve it. I know there's nothing that I have done. I still can't figure it out, you know, how she loves a grumpy old man like me and how she forgives all the time, because I put my foot in my mouth so many times. And when I think of God's mercy and his forgiveness, and it's awesome. So I praise the Lord for that. And just for the grandchildren, we were together last night. We were playing Yahtzee, laughing, and I didn't win, but one of the grandkids won. But then Sarah Gray, she's 8 years old, and she's a jokester. She is. She's a pistol. And she sits next to me, standing next to me, and puts her arm on my shoulder, and she starts singing me, "All the acquaintance be," rocking back and forth. Who is this girl? But it was just, I don't know, those little moments of blessing. And when you think that, that's how God loves us. His mercy is so great, so deep. Our sins may be many, but his mercy is more. Let's worship together.
Yes.
sins, there are many, but his mercy is more. Don't you give God praise for that? Yes. We cannot out-sin God's mercy on that. Not that we want to sin. That's one of the things he comes into our life to do, is to transform us to be more and more like Christ. Be transformed into the image of his Son. God's transformation of how we live is something worth praising God for. Ephesians 4, verse 17, and then picking up a couple of more verses after that, verses 23 and 24, says this: "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles, as the unbelievers do, in the futility of their minds, but to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Think of that. Not only has God adopted us into his family, not only has he given us a great inheritance to look forward to, not only has he given us the Holy Spirit as the down payment on that inheritance, which guarantees the full shot when Jesus comes, not only has he reconciled us to himself and with each other as one new humanity, one new family of God, but he is transforming our lives day by day into the image of his Son. Philippians 1:6, I'll move away from Ephesians, says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion on the day of Christ, on the day of his return." Think about that. And give God praise. The mics are waiting for you.
Well, if I can get up here, anyone can get up here. But the Lord's been using Psalm 23 with me this year, and I have actually memorized it, but I'm afraid with nerves I better read it. So one of the ways that God brought it to me was because I'm a Sunday school teacher, and we used it in our Sunday school class. So I had pictures to go with each one. I wish I was more prepared. I could have had pictures for you. But maybe you can envision some of it. Like Matthew said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know where he went, but "I shall not want." That's always been a favorite of mine because I'm a dumb sheep. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. Of course, I love thinking of resting in him. "He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." This verse was probably maybe the most challenging to me, because it says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And just thinking, with every move that we make, God wants to lead us in those paths of righteousness is very much of an encouragement to me. Then he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I think we all have fears now and then. And he says, "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And through this whole psalm, it's God doing the work. You know, God is the shepherd. God is making me lie down. He's leading me. He leads me for his name's sake. "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." I actually have some questions about that verse. I don't really feel like I understand it fully, but I've been trying, and I've looked up how God has the oil of gladness with us, the oil of joy, like was expressed earlier. And then "surely goodness and mercy," as we just sang about, "shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's with all of you, and then moving on.
Been nervous in here. Never talk in front of anybody except customers. This year has been very great for our family. We're glad to be here, and I am grateful for God's plans. God always has a plan. Before the holidays, before Thanksgiving, I don't know, many of you know I'm a very workaholic, and God has given me that grace to be a workaholic, and I love it. Before the holidays, I had a work accident, and I had sciatica, nerve, pinched nerves. Doctors, my family saw that, several MRIs to get done, and I was presumed to have up to 3 surgeries. And at my work, they decided to terminate my insurance, and for us, it was hard. After my insurance was canceled, I was terminated due to work absentees or work abandonment. And they knew I couldn't work. So for over a month without working, bills started piling up. And God always has a plan. Doesn't matter what we are able to do, what grace He's given us, He's always have that. He gives us hope. And within that hope, I give Him thanks, and He's grateful because His plans to us, since every bill has come, every bill has been paid. And we are not lacking in that, and I am grateful. And I don't know what God's plans are now, but I'm looking forward to them.
Us to be praying for your situation right now, if that's okay. Mind if we pray for you? And I just invite, it's not prayer service, that's next week, but we'll bring that into this week. If we could have a couple of people pray for Peter and for Liliana and the family there, for the Lord's continued provision. Praise God. He's letting you know he's got your back on this. But let's, if we could just have maybe 2 people pray right where you are for them and their particular need at this point.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to share? It'd be your last opportunity. Anyone else like to share?
I too am nervous. I failed oral communication because I cannot get up and talk in front of people. I just want to say that I was a very huge sinner, and God not only forgave me, but He forgot my sins and continued to bless me throughout all this. And then one day, He helped me do the hardest thing I've ever done. I forgave myself. And that was the path to healing for me. And I just want to thank everyone here. It's a wonderful church. And thank the Lord for leading us to Cornerstone Community. We found a wonderful home and wonderful people. And we love you all and pray for you every day. Thank all of you.
I just have to share this joy. I don't know if many of you know, but Ken's father turned 100 this year. And we have had so much fun with that. And I want to praise God and thank him for that experience. We were out to dinner Friday night. You know, it's like having dinner with a 100-year-old man who walks in the restaurant by himself. I'm trying to stick out my arms because it's kind of icy, and he's like, no, I don't need that. And he goes up the stairs all by himself. But we're sitting there having our dinner, and it was a restaurant bar, and some guy had come in, and he wasn't there 5 minutes. He gets up, and he comes over to our table and starts chatting with us. And Gramps is sitting there, and Ken's sitting there, and the guy's like, do you ever get cold in the wintertime? And I'm like, okay, I think he's 3 sheets to the wind already. But he did something. I can't remember the exact whatever, but he did this. Well, Gramps can't hear. So he thought he was saluting him. And Gramps was in World War II. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And this guy, he's like, and so Gramps salutes him back, you know? And the guy's like, oh, were you in the military, sir? Were you in the Korean War? No, he's 100. He's in World War II. He's like, whoa. And he sobers up right away. And he's like, wow. And he's just thanking him, praising him, thanking him for his service. And it was just, it's fun. Every time we go out to dinner, which we do a lot, Gramps wants to go out to dinner. Oh, I'm going to take you out for dinner for your birthday. I'm going to take you out for dinner for Christmas. I'm taking you out for New Year's, you know. So we just go out to dinner. It's been a lot of fun. And I just want to thank all our service people, too, and praise God for them. I know a lot of them sacrifice a lot. Gramps never talks about it, but I can't imagine what it was like to be a medic in World War II in Germany. Anyway, it was a fun story, and I wanted to share.
Would you stand and sing with us, please?
few closing comments before our closing song here. Let's praise for God's ongoing powerful work in us beyond our expectations. Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21. And I think it's in situations, Peter, like you're in, like my son is in, and others have been in and will be in the future, that we see God's work most powerfully in those situations. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. The Apostle Paul says this, following a prayer that he has in the book of Ephesians for believers. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. We usually think in terms of material things. Paul is thinking in terms, if you look at that in its broader context, of not just material, but spiritual things. Things that matter forever. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work already now within us, to him be glory in the church, praising God together, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We never get beyond are receiving the great and glorious things of God. It's not like we ever arrive at some point, but no, it's ever increasing and ongoing. And his praise is ever increasing and ongoing. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or can even conceive of. Can you conceive of that? What a great God. We serve what a great God we know. Personal note here for the last song. I want to thank you and God's work in you for how you have ministered to Jeremy and their family. Actually, there are three churches involved in that. Their home church, which is a church plant that he and my son Jeremy and Jennifer were involved in. That's how they met. Journey Church on York House Road. And after some years, they became more than friends and got married. And he inherited four kids at that time. She was a single mom with four kids. They were involved in the early stages of Christian Neighbors Church, our church plant in Waukegan. And then for the past few years, they've been back with Journey Church again, two church plants. But it's been amazing to see, not just in material ways, very definitely material ways that have been a big factor, and this church has provided a good amount for them, and they're really grateful for that. But it's the spiritual aspect of it which really transcends more than anything. And I know Jeremy, in the early stages, he says, I've really come to realize, like never before, my own mortality. My own mortality. And has really brought him closer to the Lord, that's for sure. He was already walking faithfully with the Lord, but this really has brought that to a new level. And as Becky mentioned, it was really good to be with them yesterday, and to hear him being upbeat. Because he's been up and down with things, and the Lord is working through your prayers very, very definitely in every respect. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. But I want to thank you, our church family, at this time, you know, for the way you have rallied around us and around them, and the way you've ministered. It's phenomenal, and I give God praise for his ongoing powerful work in you. And I look forward to the year coming and how he's going to continue to work in our midst through everything. Closing song. Please rise. Thank you. begin the year on our knees in prayer to God, and have a very happy new year. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and us among us, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May you know the reality of that this week.